At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nothing like a big fantasy quarterback shakeup right before the start of the NFL season. And here we are, Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. It is time for Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. 2 hours of fantasy sports talk, wagering sports talk. No question, we're getting you ready for the upcoming NFL season, and our fantasy content here on Sports Grid continues today. And Davis, it continues with the biggest news of the preseason and the upcoming NFL season, as Cam Newton, maybe, maybe not, a future Hall of Famer, maybe we'll have that discussion as well, looks like he's taken his final snap for the New England Patriots. The Patriots released Cam Newton about 2 hours ago, Davis, and Mac Jones from Alabama is going to be starting the first game of the season in 2021. What a really wild place to start the show today.
Yeah, but, you know, this was not that unexpected. You and I had started talking last week. Cam Newton gets placed on the COVID protocol. It was reported by a couple different sources that the team was not particularly enthused with his behavior and what led to him being placed on the COVID list. And this is basically my takeaway on the situation. The biggest competitive disadvantage you can have as an NFL team right now is to have a quarterback who is not vaccinated, because that means they don't even have to have a positive test for the coronavirus to land on the health and safety protocols. All they have to have is a close contact. And that pretty much means if you are a quarterback and you have a close contact, you are out. You are not eligible to play or be at practice for 5 days. So that means if Cam Newton went out to dinner with his buddies on a Wednesday, one of his buddies tested positive, that means Cam is basically not playing on Sunday. And Bill Belichick is not going to go into an NFL season with that big of a liability. There was just no way. And I think the combination of Cam not being vaccinated, not playing well last year, and Mac Jones playing very well in the preseason pretty much sealed his fate.
Feel like that's a really good point. Can't really argue any of it. The question is it the end of the career for Cam Newton? And what do we make of Mac Jones? Of course, we're going to dive into that a lot on today's show. But let's begin with our other headlines here on the program here on Fantasy Sports Today. U.S. Open round one underway from New York City. Ohtani homers Angels beat the Yankees on his quest to be the MVP. May not start, though, coming up this week. NFLPA wants more COVID testing. Okay, sounds pretty good based on what the NFL wants. Unfortunately, it looks like Trey Lance's debut is going to have to wait. I don't think there's any chance he's the starter now week one. He's got a chip in his finger, probably misses a week or two. And it is cutdown day in the NFL. Now, Davis, we're going to probably, you know, have some interesting names for sure. Still no one in the top 100 yet, so still a fantasy. That hasn't happened. But Peyton Barber was let go by the Washington football team. Antonio Gandy-Golden, who was really not a fantasy factor, has been let go too. And I think it's pretty clear, based on the Washington situation in particular, that if you draft Antonio Gibson as your RB1 going into the season, you better make sure at the end of the draft that you take Jarrett Patterson. I mean, at least I think that's the guy to get, because Patterson had such a good preseason. But Barber was like a touchdown vulture, right? I mean, nothing really more than that.
Yeah, I actually think that this is just an indication that, one, they feel pretty confident in J.D. McKissic playing third downs, so no need to keep Peyton Barber, no need to keep Jonathan Williams was the other guy that they released. You know, I never handcuff my own running backs. I always use those roster spots to draft other running backs who could take away equity from other teams in the league. But Jarrett Patterson is officially starting to get pretty interesting. He was one of the best running backs in the preseason, had a great PFF grade. And yeah, you're right. You know, they moved on from the veteran Peyton Barber. They move on from Jonathan Williams. They're going to go into the season with Gibson. They're going to go into the season with McKissic and with Patterson. And I suppose Patterson is very interesting from like an archetype perspective, because he's a smaller guy. He's about 5'6", 185 pounds, but was not a pass catcher in college. You would anticipate right. that at his size, he would be a pass catcher. And I'm interested to see if he is even active in week one, because there is a chance that he's just not, that because he doesn't play special teams, that they end up actually signing a combination, you know, a Brandon Bolden type, a guy who can play special teams and be the third emergency running back before week one. I would be curious to see what they decide with that.
All right. And some other cuts today. Doesn't really affect fantasy, at least for now, and probably not for this season. But former West Virginia and Florida Gators quarterback Will Grier, he was the one that got away from us, Davis. I thought Will Grier would have been great at Florida, but had all kinds of issues, tested positive, whatever. Panthers drafted him as maybe the quarterback of the future. Of course, that indication was long gone going into the preseason. He's let go. He'll catch on with someone. He'll end up being the third quarterback on someone's team. The Saints cut Devonta Freeman. This is probably the end of the line. And also, I think I saw, Davis, that Jacob Hollister was let go. I feel like he was a pretty decent tight end.
Yeah, Jacob Hollister was okay. The Freeman signing is, the Freeman release, rather, is fairly interesting, because that does lock in Latavius Murray into the roster. And there was some thought that Latavius Murray, who just spent the offseason getting drafted in like the 12th round, actually was a threat to get cut. But it looks like he is safe now.
All right. Well, we'll go through it all here on today's show. But coming up next, what do we make of the New England quarterback situation going into the season? How high does Mac Jones get drafted now? Does Cam Newton continue his career with someone in the NFL this season? Is Cam Newton a Pro Football Hall of Famer? These are all.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All questions we have to answer. It's the story of the day. New England shaking things up for us here on the show. We'll have more for you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If the Patriots had given us a little more time, we would have had a great fantasy or reality on Cam Newton a little bit later in the show, but they kind of dropped this bomb on us an hour before our show. And so Danny and Brett Levy and everyone getting together and just kind of throwing everything we can to talk about this on today's show, Davis. And, you know, I don't think it's a huge surprise that Mac Jones is starting. It's probably a big surprise that Cam Newton's let go completely. I think that, to me, is a little bit of a surprise because, essentially, if Mac Jones should get hurt or should struggle, I mean, there is not a lot behind him to start the season, that's for sure. We'll get to Mac Jones here in a minute. Naturally, the conversation is going to start, though, Davis, with Cam Newton, who has had a wonderful career. I don't know if I should stop short of Hall of Fame here. I'm not really sure. But 31,000 yards, 5,000 rushing yards, 261 touchdowns, 118 interceptions. Also was the NFL MVP in 2015. So before we get to the Hall of Fame, and I do want to get there, I want to start with this. Has he taken his last snap? Has he thrown his last pass in the NFL, Davis? Because he could play 10 more years if he wanted to, Davis, and never play. Right? Like, he could do this and just be a backup and never play in a game, because we've seen quarterbacks do this before. But do you think that he continues on? Do you think that that's his strategy moving forward? I know we're guessing, but what do you think?
Well, I don't think that this will be like the last we've seen of him. I would imagine that he signs with someone. You know, the Vikings probably need a backup quarterback. The Chargers probably need a backup quarterback. The Saints, you know, I could see the Saints taking a flyer on him, given that they don't really know what they have at the quarterback position. Now, there are not as many quarterback openings as there would have been a few years ago. We just had 5 rookie quarterbacks drafted. We have, you know, Tua added to the league last year. Herbert added to the league last year. So there are a lot of younger quarterbacks that are taking over. I could see the Steelers being one of those teams. I certainly don't think that Cam will be hanging around as a backup quarterback for 10 more years, though. My guess is that over the next, this season and next season, he will find one more chance to play. If he plays poorly in that stint, I think that will probably be it for him. I think that he will probably, you know, and this is kind of what happens with guys like this who used to be so good, and then they have that dramatic fall off in their performance. It's actually like harder to keep someone like that around than it is to have Chase Daniel as your backup quarterback for a decade, because no one's begging for Chase Daniel to take over, right? But if the Steelers sign Cam Newton and the Steelers start out 2-4 and Ben looks terrible, you're going to have teammates wanting Cam to play. You're going to have fans wanting Cam to play. So my guess is that we probably have about 2 more years left of Cam hanging around NFL rosters.
You know, there are examples, though, to the contrary. You know, Matt Hasselbeck, who was a really good quarterback for a long time, I think he was a backup for at least 5 or 6 years without playing at all. You know, Warren Moon, who's a Hall of Famer, you know, spent 4 years not playing completely and just being a backup. Randall Cunningham did the same thing. You know, I'm probably in agreement with you, but it would not surprise me. It just depends on how much he loves being around the game. In terms of the Hall of Fame, Davis, his numbers are pretty favorable with other players that are in the Hall of Fame. It's just he's just had such a significant drop, right, from like where he was 2 years ago to like done. And he's probably not going to pad these stats. I looked up Donovan McNabb, who has pretty similar statistics in terms of accomplishments and wins and losses, more passing yards, less rushing yards. And Donovan McNabb does not even get discussed for the Hall of Fame, interestingly enough. So, I mean, I think inevitably Cam gets in, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just not seeing this correctly, and he's a bona fide first ballot guy, but it feels like there'll be a discussion on it at the very least.
Well, I don't think that he will be a first ballot guy, because the guys who have Hall of Fame votes don't like Cam Newton, right? Don't really like his personality. There's what, he didn't dive hard enough for the fumble in the Super Bowl loss against the Broncos. But Cam, to me, is pretty unquestionably a Hall of Famer. Really, you know, Michael Vick was very instrumental in bringing rushing quarterbacks to the forefront. But Cam was the first rushing quarterback to have the entire offense dedicated around it, right? Michael Vick was a scrambler. Cam Newton was a rusher. And I think there are a big difference between those two things. I think without Cam Newton, it's very unlikely we have a Lamar Jackson. I think without Cam Newton, it's unlikely we have a Josh Allen. You know, if you just kind of look at how those things go. And the NFL Hall of Fame, very similar to the Baseball Hall of Fame and the Basketball Hall of Fame, I think the purpose of those institutions should be to tell the story of the league as a whole. And I just don't think you can tell the story of the NFL in the 2010s without including Cam Newton. I mean, go back and look at what he did, his rookie year. We had never seen anything like that. We had never seen anything like rookie year Cam Newton. 14 rushing touchdowns, 126 rushes, 21 passing touchdowns, on a bad Panthers team. It was unbelievable that year.
Yeah, and look, there are other quarterbacks who are in the NFL with less pedigree. Kurt Warner comes to mind. I know Kurt Warner's story is great, but certainly Newton's numbers are going to be above where Kurt Warner was. So interesting conversation for a later date. All right, so now let's go to Mac Jones, who looked really good in the preseason. He threw 389 yards, 3 rushing yards. We know Mac Jones is not going to run. This guy's slow. 1 touchdown, no interceptions. In fact, of all the players drafted this past year, Jones has the least ability, I think, to get out of the pocket. And that was the one thing that people talked about going into the draft, that he's got to end up with a team that has a good offensive line. I think this is a good spot. I think New England does have a really good offensive line. But where are you moving Mac Jones up to, Davis, in your rankings over at Daily Roto? Is he jumping over any quarterbacks at this point, or are you keeping him about the same range? What happens with him now for you?
I mean, I would probably take him over your Jared Goffs, your Sam Darnolds, your Derek Carrs. But this offense is just going to be so run heavy. Any excess value that Mac Jones is able to provide at the quarterback position and not the value that he would deliver to Patriots skill position players, it'll just be touchdown driven, right? It'll be they decide that they're just going to very heavily throw the ball to Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. I have him projected for 17 games, and I have him projected for 15.5 fantasy points per game. So that's less than Trey Lance. That's less than Justin Fields. That's less than Tua. All guys that I greatly prefer. The time to be drafting Mac Jones was the past couple weeks, as it became clear that he looked good. Cam did not look as good, and in a 1 quarterback league, I don't imagine that Mac Jones would matter. And in 2 quarterback and super flex leagues, I would imagine, most likely that he's probably a little bit overpriced now.
Yeah. Also, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, that was another big injury for New England, placed on the physically unable to perform list. He's going to miss the first 6 games of the season. Gilmore is considered, I still think at this point, top 3, top 5, maybe number 1 cornerback in the entire NFL. Some folks are mentioning, Davis, that Cam Newton, Dallas, is a good spot maybe for him as the backup to Dak Prescott. They have no established, real backup there. That feels like a risk Dallas may take, but, again, the vaccination thing is going to, I think, play a factor here too.
I mean, they need to add a backup quarterback. Same for the New York Jets, by the way. If these teams go into the season with the backup quarterbacks they have now, I think it is malpractice. The Cowboys released Ben DiNucci, so they are down to Cooper Rush as their backup quarterback. Not a great situation. The Jets have Mike White. They released Josh Johnson. So there are teams who don't need a starting quarterback who definitely need a backup quarterback. Look, if Cam, and maybe Cam learns a lesson, by the way, maybe he realizes that, if what I want to do is play in the NFL, I got to take this step and get the back. And maybe that doesn't matter to him. Maybe, the personal choice of not being vaccinated is more important to him than the paycheck or being able to play competitive football. But that'll be a personal decision that he will have to make. But I would imagine the market for an injured 32-year-old quarterback with a shaky vaccination status is not going to be very hot.
Well, back in 2011, Cam Newton was just entering into the NFL. And since it's been 10 years, we decided to take a walk back into history and take a look at what the fantasy football landscape looked like 10 years ago today. And we'll look at that next. Stay with us here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who do you like in the games this week? That's the question that gets asked to a lot of us here on Sports Grid. If you want to know, you should probably either watch our shows or, even better yet, follow us on social media on Twitter at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Where do you do that? Over on Twitter. Really easy to do. Of course, we have college football games, believe it or not, tomorrow night. And of course, on Thursday, there are so many games Thursday, and this is the first full week of college football. Clemson and Georgia, some unbelievable matchups. Ohio State at Minnesota, week one. Does Minnesota have a shot? Well, follow us on Twitter. See what we think about this week's games. Well, yesterday we had a fun conversation here on the show, just trying to dissect what fantasy football looked like a handful of years ago. And I thought it'd be a pretty good exercise because Davis made a pretty good point, which was, when fantasy football was played 20, 30 years ago, maybe even shorter period of time than that, who would have thought that you would take anybody outside of a running back, Davis, in fantasy football with even your first two picks? And lo and behold, decided to go back in history, take a look 10 years ago today, what we were looking at in fantasy football. And what I found was pretty much exactly what you said. No one was willing to go outside the box, take wide receivers. And in the end, looking at the final stats from 2011, which we will dive into, it was a mistake. There were a lot of really good receivers that outperformed the running backs. And I think that we're going to teach people a pretty big lesson on why things changed today.
Yeah, well, I would hope to. And, you know, you definitely do make the point, which is like mostly people didn't know any better then. Right. That was definitely the big thing is fantasy football content was certainly not as advanced as it was now. We knew a lot less about what made people good prospects. We knew a lot less about what would indicate wide receivers breaking out. But also, the NFL just featured so much more rushing at that point. I mean, if you go back and look at the results of the 2011 season, there were 13 running backs who saw 250 carries or more, right? With an extra game this year, I guarantee you we are not even going to come close to that. I think you'd see six or seven guys with 250 carries, maybe, and that might even be on the high end in a 17-game season. And also, guys on this list, you know, Adrian Peterson never caught passes, right? He just never really caught passes. Nope.
Yeah. So let's take a look. Here's the top five draft picks in terms of ADP back in 2011. So I know that the memory doesn't serve a lot of people. And honestly, there are some names here that I have forgot all about. But Adrian Peterson was the first overall pick. Arian Foster was coming off that ridiculous first season that he had with the Houston Texans. He was number two. People forget about Ray Rice, how good he was his first few years in the NFL. And then he, of course, had those issues. We never heard from him again. He was the third overall pick. Jamaal Charles was a monster taking over for Priest Holmes in Kansas City. And then Davis, Chris Johnson was the fifth overall pick. Chris Johnson, of course, who rushed for 2,000 yards, had some decent seasons in the NFL. I think a lot of people thought Chris Johnson was going to be like a Hall of Fame type running back just because he was ridiculously unbelievable in that one 2,000 yard season. But that's what the top five looked like.
Yeah, I mean, people do definitely forget about Chris Johnson, and he stuck around in the NFL much longer than you would think. You know, you'd be looking at this from 10 years ago, and you'd be like, well, that's insane. But he was on an NFL roster as recently as he was on an NFL roster as recently as 2017. You might remember this. Do you know who was standing in the way of David Johnson's original breakout season, Craig? It was Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson was actually the starting running back the first year that David Johnson, you know, who, funnily enough, now we're talking about David Johnson being a dusty old veteran. But Chris Johnson, it was just off the strength of that 2009 season, because he was the most brutal running back to watch. When you were playing against him in fantasy, you'd watch him and he'd be negative 3 yards, 2 yards, 1 yard, negative 3 yards, 5 yards. And then you'd be like, oh, I got it. I win. I'm winning. And then boom, break 85 yard touchdown. He'd break it off. He was like, you know, kind of that Barry Sanders, Saquon Barkley style runner where he's always trying to run to daylight. But I have fond memories of having him on my fantasy team in that 2009 season, and very non-fond memories of him burying David Johnson on that Cardinals depth chart that first year.
Yeah, and Jamaal Charles tore his ACL two games in. So you took him with a top five pick. He did not play for you that season. Arian Foster didn't repeat the season that he had in 2010. He did bounce back in 2012 and had a great season, but 11 wasn't that great for him. Adrian Peterson also missed four games. And then his following year, 2012, as he slipped a little bit, he rushed for 2,000 yards. He had a great year there. So here is the rest of the top 10. What do we see here? Almost all running backs, no wide receivers. People just wanted their running back. It's the way it went. MJD, remember him? Maurice Jones-Drew, he was the sixth overall pick. The only quarterback in the top 10 was Aaron Rodgers, coming off an unbelievable year with the Packers, and this is basically when Rodgers was at his peak, although you could say he's been at his peak the last few years too. LeSean McCoy, no doubt, with the Eagles. He had a really good year, by the way, you know, paid dividends on being a top 10 pick. Andre Johnson was the only receiver that sniffed the top 10. Roddy White was just outside of it, but Andre Johnson was ninth, and Andre Johnson missed more games in 2011 than he ever had. He missed 9 games. He played 15 games or more 9 times. This was not one of them. And then the bust of them all was Darren McFadden, who was coming off a phenomenal, I believe, rookie season. And then he missed 9 games that year. He only had 600 yards and 4 touchdowns. McFadden, Davis, never lived up to what everyone thought he would be. I mean, I think he overall was a pretty massive disappointment.
Well, yeah, he was a huge bust. He was injured every year of his career. In fact, the only time he made it through 16 games was his final year in Oakland. And then you might remember this, but also he got signed by the Dallas Cowboys in 2015 because, you know, Jerry Jones loves his Arkansas Razorbacks, which is where McFadden went to school. And it was a 4-12 Dallas Cowboys team. It was the year before they drafted Zeke, and he actually at age 28 did have another 1,000 yard season, 1,000 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 40 receptions, 328 yards. But yeah, what a fun little walk down memory lane. But yeah, I mean, funny to see only one wide receiver going in the top 10. Hilarious to see Aaron Rodgers going at number 7. I mean, that would just never happen now. Like, literally, it just would never.
About 5 years ago, it completely stopped. There was just no quarterbacks taken in the first round, second round. DeMarco Murray, I think, got hurt that year, right at the beginning that McFadden was signed, I'm pretty sure. Now, mm-hmm. The 2011 fantasy football steal of the draft. This took a little bit of work to find because there were a lot of good candidates here. Calvin Johnson had a great year, too, but he was drafted in the second round in all of these leagues. But Davis, Wes Welker was not. Look at these numbers for Wes Welker. And these numbers hold water, Davis, in today's game, too. 122 receptions, 1,569 receiving yards, second in the NFL. And also, now look, he only had 9 touchdowns on the season. But imagine playing in a PPR league and getting Wes Welker in terms of where he was in ADP. It looked like 4th, 5th round for Welker. And he ended up being like the number one guy. Calvin Johnson graded out as a top 10 overall pick also in 2011 at the end of the year. He had 1,681. This is when Calvin Johnson took his leap, and then 2 years later he had 2,000 yards. But for a 5-year period, he was number one. There was nobody better than him. But Davis, Wes Welker essentially was the pick of the draft that year. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah. So it's funny that we go back to that season for him, because if you go back and look at the year before, which is obviously what we're drafting off of, Welker had been good before that. Welker had in 2007, he had 112 receptions, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2008, another 1,000-yard season, 2009, another big season. But in 2010... the Patriots were just they just ran the air out of the ball. They ran 454 times. They only attempted 502 passes. That was a huge season for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. You remember the law firm. Danny Woodhead had a great year that year for the first time. Fred Taylor was on that team. Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk were on those teams. So those were, funnily enough, again, that's like what the Patriots are going to try to be this year. They're going to try to be like those 2010 Patriots. But again, to our point, people just didn't really know what they were doing last year, and they didn't really realize that transitioning into 2011 season, the Patriots were going to be a much more pass-heavy team. Why were they a much more pass-heavy team? Well, that was the year that they drafted Gronk. That was the year that they drafted Aaron Hernandez, and they also drafted Stephen Ridley then. So they were just transitioning as a team, and had those personnel moves happened with the knowledge that we had now, we all would have been like, oh yeah, they're going to be way more explosive on offense. They're going to pass way more, but I was playing fantasy football then and no one had any idea. No one had any clue about these things. It was just like, it was like a foreign world.
Yeah. And Welker's best year was not 10. So that's perhaps why he slipped a little bit in these drafts. But, certainly in a PPR league, he was a monster that season, no doubt. All right. So from past history to the future, next we are going to talk about some player props over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We've touched on a lot of these players, but FanDuel's doing a great job of adding new content and new options every day. Those include rushing touchdowns for several players that you will be having on your team this season. So we'll go through those coming up next, including the top guy, Christian McCaffrey, in 2021, and we'll take a look at some of the rookies as well. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid, as we got plenty more to come here on this Tuesday afternoon right here on Fantasy Sports Today, as we'll take a quick timeout, come back, and look at our props over on FanDuel for this afternoon. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our series continues, taking a look at some of the NFL player props for the 2021 NFL season. And today's look is at the running back position. But we've done the yards. You can go back and watch all of our shows on demand for those. Let's take a look at, Davis, the rushing touchdowns, which is obviously a far less predictable stat in the NFL. Also, keeping in mind, for those of you who may just be watching for the first time or getting ready to play fantasy this season, remember, 17-game NFL season. So if these numbers look a little bit inflated, that's the reason why. And we'll walk you through that process. Will players even play in Week 17 based on their playoff positioning? That could factor in as well. So, Davis, let's start off. 1-1 in every fantasy football draft, I think, pretty much, is Christian McCaffrey of the Carolina Panthers, who, by all accounts, is healthy. We have not seen him in the preseason, but everyone says he is, so we'll go off that. His total in 2021 on FanDuel today is 11.5 rushing touchdowns. The juice has changed on some of these, which we'll get to in a minute, but this one is very simple. $112 risk to win 100 on the over or the under at 11.5. 2 years ago, he had 15 rushing touchdowns in that MVP-type season. The question is, Davis, in the 17-game season, will McCaffrey play the whole year? Will he be healthy and go over 11.5, or is it best served to fade it and go under?
I cannot imagine betting the under on a Christian McCaffrey prop, because you are basically just counting on him getting injured. Now, I actually only have him projected for 11.7 rushing touchdowns. I have him definitely projected higher than that for receiving touchdowns than you would have for the average running back. But I mean, the thing about the Panthers is, like, they are all in on getting McCaffrey these touches. They get to the 3-yard line and you know McCaffrey is getting the ball. They're not pulling in Chuba Hubbard. They're not running Sam Darnold with the QB power. Like, none of those things are happening. We can feel extremely confident that when the Panthers get inside the 5-yard line, that Christian McCaffrey is going to be getting the ball. And I guess to me, betting the under on a Christian McCaffrey, anything, right? Receptions, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, receiving, just anything. It just feels nonsensical because the team is so committed to getting him the ball as much as possible. He will lead the NFL in touches if he stays healthy. And I just don't want to be betting. And I definitely don't want to bet that he gets injured. Betting on Christian McCaffrey to get injured is just not a fun way to go about the NFL season.
Yeah. I mean, no bet is fine too, but just listen, me and my friend just found out in the Phillies league that we have the number one overall pick. I don't know how we pulled that off, but we'll be in on McCaffrey. And my other draft is Monday. I have both big drafts coming up on Monday. First pick in one, I believe the fourth pick in another. Okay, now let's move on to Dalvin Cook of the Minnesota Vikings, who is clearly much higher number here in terms of touchdowns. For you to win money on this bet, he's got to go over 13.5. Over a 17-game season, but of course, Cook in general does not play a full season, always misses a game or two. It didn't matter last year because he had 16 rushing touchdowns, even in his shortened season, Davis, in 2020. Do you have the same feeling on Cook, or are you willing to fade this number?
I am willing to fade this number because it's just so high. This is on the very high end of the outcomes, like 11.5 for McCaffrey. I feel like he should be probably projected to score the most. I mean, I guess I'm lying because I have Dalvin Cook projected for more rushing touchdowns, but I do not have him projected for 13.5. I have him projected for 12.5. But again, as you said, if Dalvin Cook misses a game, if the Vikings do not play a competitive week 18 game, their 17th game, then, you know, you're talking about him missing there. And we've talked on the show before about how this shoulder injury that Dalvin Cook has, the team doctors and, you know, these Twitter doctors who do fantasy football analysis, they've all said that the shoulder injury that Dalvin Cook suffers from is going to be a permanent thing that he's going to have to deal with. I can't imagine much more of an uncomfortable injury for a running back than a shoulder injury. I guess maybe a chronic hip injury would be a little bit worse. But you, again, much like McCaffrey, you do not love betting an under on Dalvin Cook, considering where he's going in fantasy drafts, especially if you have him on a fantasy team. You don't want to be under there. But I am, unfortunately, under on Dalvin Cook 13.5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, it feels like that's the way to go, at least to start the season, because if he misses two games during the regular season and just a possibility of them either being very good or very bad knocks him out of the last game of the year, I don't know that in a 14 gamer he'd get 13.5 touchdowns. So that's an interesting one. All right, now here are really good topics of conversation because the juice is definitely interesting the way FanDuel has posed these. So let's dive in to Daryl Henderson of the Los Angeles Rams. His total is 8.5 rushing touchdowns over on FanDuel. You can get a little bit of plus money here, plus 102. The under seems to be the lean here at minus 130. He had 5 rushing touchdowns. I wouldn't say extremely limited play, but you know, clearly at the end of the season, Cam Akers was the guy, and he had 5 touchdowns in a 16-game season. Sony Michel has been brought in to do what? I'm not entirely sure. Bullish on Henderson's yards, probably. What do you think about the touchdowns, though, here? 8.5.
Yep, you hit the nail on the head. I am bullish on Daryl Henderson's yardage prop. In fact, right when it came out, I was able to bet the over at 550 yards. I would imagine that it's probably closer to like 800 or 850 right now. I do feel that if Sony Michel is to have a role on this Los Angeles Rams team, it's probably going to be a role that would negatively impact Daryl Henderson's touchdown production. If you think about the things that Sony Michel does well, maybe a slightly better inside runner than Daryl Henderson. And coaches, the thing that NFL coaches love to do is they love to put guys in roles, right? So, okay, this guy's our third down back. This guy is our goal line back. This guy is our 2-minute drill back. This guy is our first down back. Like, that's just kind of how NFL coaches have dealt with the running back position as they have, you know, as pretty much every team goes to a running back by committee style approach. If you were going to bet this, I would certainly bet the under, even with the juice. I have Henderson projected for 5.5 rushing touchdowns. The thing is, we don't really know what Sony Michel's role is going to be, and Daryl Henderson is another guy I don't want to be short on. I would prefer to have as many like long positions on Daryl Henderson as possible. I think he's a really talented player. I think he is more talented than Sony Michel. Now, maybe the Rams don't agree with me, seeing as how they, you know, they drafted Cam Akers after they drafted Daryl Henderson, they traded for Sony Michel, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, if you're the smart wager here is the under. But it's not one that me personally, given what I've done in fantasy drafts up until this point, I don't want to create a short position on Daryl Henderson, so I cannot bet the under myself.
Yeah, he doesn't feel like a goal line type back. Like, he doesn't feel like the kind of guy that Stafford throws, you know, into the end zone and Cooper Kupp doesn't catch it, but there's a pass interference call and then they're on the one. You know, he doesn't feel like that guy there. And maybe that is Sony Michel's role. Maybe not. Maybe Henderson is the guy too. But 8.5 is the total over on FanDuel. You guys can log in and make your choice. Now, finally, another a little bit unclear role for the season is Javonte Williams of the Denver Broncos. But certainly FanDuel's smart enough to put all the rookies on there too, because they know that people love rookies one way or the other. This is unpredictable as well. Close to Henderson, as a matter of fact. Over 6.5, you're paying juice on, minus 118. The under 6.5 is also juice-induced here. So minus 108 to win $100. A little bit less on the under, but this is nothing significant, I don't think, either way. Melvin Gordon, who was the primary ball carrier for the most part for Denver, and also Davis got pretty much everything inside the red zone. I mean, it's just what they did. He scored 9 touchdowns in a somewhat effective season in 2020. You know, he's been hurt in the preseason. Everyone is in on Javonte Williams, but can he score 7 touchdowns this season? And doesn't he need to have a pretty quick outcome here at the beginning of the season? I'm not sure if that's in line for him to start the year. What do you think?
No, I don't think he will have a quick start to the year. In fact, I imagine that he is going to be very frustrating for fantasy football drafters who have selected him in the 5th or the 6th round of their drafts. I imagine they're going to be pulling their hair out watching Melvin Gordon, you know, just kind of lurch around, you know, doing his 3 yards in a cloud of dust routine. But I'm actually taking the over here because I imagine that by week 7 or week 8, Javonte Williams will take over the lion's share of this backfield. And, you know, he actually might be a little bit further ahead than we imagined. He sat out the Broncos' final preseason game after they announced that they were starting Teddy Bridgewater in week 1 of the NFL season. They actually played Melvin Gordon in their final preseason game, but they said, no need for us to play Javonte. You know, we know what we have in him. He's been very good in preseason, been very good in training camp, all of those things. So the team actually might be a little bit higher on Javonte Williams than the fantasy football market is assuming right now. And to me, the thing is, Melvin Gordon has just never been good. He has never been an efficient running back. Teams have, you know, the Chargers tried to use him that way. He got a bunch of carries for the Broncos last year. They chose to use him over Phillip Lindsay. Then they moved on from Phillip Lindsay. I actually like the over here. I have him projected under, but this is a spot where I feel comfortable wagering against my projections. The projections are meant to capture the median outcome. They're, you know, the most likely, the 50th percentile outcome over the course of the season. I think Williams has more upside than that. You know, the median is going to include times where he is the clear backup to Melvin Gordon, you know, for a percentage of the time. And I think that is a fairly unlikely scenario. So I like the over for Javonte.
Look, second half of the season. And listen, if what I think is going to happen happens, and I think Denver is going to be awful, you know, Javonte Williams will get a really good look in the second half of the season. So I am with you. I'm definitely bullish on him. Running through some of these cuts, Davis, that are coming across the wire here in the NFL, we've talked about some of the more significant ones. Of course, if you're just joining us, Cam Newton has been let go by the New England Patriots. We'll touch on him coming up at the top of the hour. Interesting name cut today as well, because it may open up some potential backup work. Ryan Nall, who I think was forced into some action, if I'm not mistaken, with the Bears like a little bit last year. And look, Ryan Nall is not a player that you're going to be drafting, but he was like, I remember sitting on the waiver wire and staring at him, maybe scoring a touchdown near the goal line or two, but the Bears let him go. And so Pierce, I believe Pierce is the other running back that they have there in Chicago. So we'll have to keep an eye on the way that the Bears running back shifts now based on that.
Yes. Yeah, I actually think that both of those news pieces that you just stated there are fairly meaningful. The Bears waived Artavius Pierce, who was ended up being active for, I think, 2 games last year. Ryan Nall, kind of more of like a fullback, third down back style guy. But I mean, the fact that both of those guys got waived is fairly interesting to me, because that would seem to indicate that the team does maybe think that Tariq Cohen is not going to maybe will have a role on the team at some point. But the bigger impact to me is Damian Williams is actually locked and loaded as a really valuable handcuff in fantasy football, and he is going to have some third down work, some pass catching eligibility. So, like, to me, I think Damian Williams remains one of the most undervalued running backs in the fantasy football marketplace right now.
Yeah, interesting, because you look, Montgomery could have a fantastic year, but if anything should happen, I mean, next man up 100% is Damian Williams. There's no question now with the Bears letting go of 2 running backs there. All right, so we'll take a quick break here on the show. We'll come back and wrap up this first hour of fantasy sports today. We have plenty to come. In our second hour of the show, we'll talk about some strategies in fantasy and the dreaded kickers in fantasy football. Today is the day. Got to get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Unfortunately for the New Orleans Saints, it looks like their home game, at least in September, is going to be moved due to the effects of Hurricane Ida. Of course, wishing the best there to everybody in the New Orleans area. I've been through many hurricanes through the years living in South Florida. It's one of the scariest things that can happen, and then the aftermath from that is no fun either. Interesting story, Davis, that's been trending here in the last 48 hours is this Bishop Sycamore High School slash not really a high school that got themselves somehow on national television playing against a pretty good school and then got annihilated. The announcers toward the end of the game sort of outed them, saying that they had really no business being there and that they should stop the game and the kids could get hurt. I mean, what a wild story for this to be pulled off.
Just an insane story. And it sounds like the people running this Bishop Sycamore organization, it's like all about, you know, generating some short-term profits. It sounds very sketchy. There was, I wish I could remember the name of the place that published the piece, but one journalism outpost yesterday published an article where they interviewed one of the former players from Bishop Sycamore. And it was basically just like, yeah, we're all in this house. We're sleeping on the floor. They told us we were going to be the next IMG Academy. They lied to my parents to get me there. It was like a really funny story at first, like, oh, you know, this group of people scammed ESPN and got on TV. And then like the reality of the situation seemed a little bit darker than that. So not a particularly great day for organized high school athletics.
No, and not a great day to be the executive producer or the producer of the broadcast that decided that they should be on without doing the proper research, I guess, there. I suppose anybody could get duped, but the announcers during the game said that the team and the coach had given them information showing them that so many of their players were future All-Americans, and they couldn't quantify any of the information. So really, really bizarre story for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to get our headlines here at the top of the hour. We have Chris with the Sports Grid update, and then we'll talk about some of the roster cuts in the NFL. We'll revisit Mac Jones starting for the New England Patriots. Hour two is next, so stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
I'm Chris Kofsky with your Sports Grid news update. You want the winning edge? Get on the grid. Tons of NFL news to get you first. The Patriots today have released quarterback Cam Newton, paving the way for rookie quarterback Mac Jones to be the Pats' starting quarterback week one when the Pats take on the Dolphins. More from the Pats, their star quarter Stephon Gilmore will start the season on reserve slash physically unable to perform list as he returns from a torn quad, his agent announced today. Gilmore will not miss at least the first 6 weeks of the season. The Pats all-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari with a knee injury, will also start the season on the PUP list. He will also miss at least the first 6 weeks, but Green Bay is hopeful Bakhtiari will fully be healed. The Saints have officially placed wideout Michael Thomas on the PUP list as he recovers from ankle surgery he had in July. The Cowboys, they have cut backup quarterbacks Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert as Cooper Rush will be Dak's backup in this season. Sources tell ESPN the Bucs are working to restructure wideout Mike Evans' deal to make cap space. Evans currently has a team-high $16.637 million cap hit. Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan announced rookie quarterback Trey Lance has a small chip in his finger, but he's only expected to miss about a week. We go to Major League Baseball. One game getting underway at 1 o'clock in Queens, a suspended game between the Mets and the Phillies. But we hit finals for Monday's Major League Baseball slate. The Rays is home favorites. They beat the Red Sox 6-1. The under hit. The Jays is home favorites. Took care of the Orioles 7-1. The under also a winner there. Vlad Guerrero Jr., two home runs on the night. Wake up and hang out with Ari Levstein and Ben Stevens in the morning after every weekday starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, only right here on SportsGrid.